Blog Talk Radio.
We reserve the right to not disclose personal and private information, and the views and opinion expressed on Live, Laugh, and Learn radio show with Mir are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the official policies and position of our organization. Any content provided by our authors are of their own opinion and not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, organization, or individual. Hello, hello, everyone. So I am excited to come to you all today. I want to get started by opening up in prayer because I have a special guest and I don't want to take too much of her time. So dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you to just say thank you. Thank you for your angels of protection that watch over us each and every day. Thank you for the word that is going forth. Thank you, Father God, for giving us insight. Help us to be your vessel. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, you guys, so today we are going to tackle a tough topic that some of us are dealing with in this time of inflation and a pandemic and with our relationships. So I wanted to reach out to a special expert as it pertains to finances. So my special guest, a little bit about her. She is the owner of One Tenth Ministries, which is providing biblical-based financial literacy workshops and financial planning. She's a stay-at-home mom. Along with her husband, they're raising two kids, and she's from New York. She is very passionate about sharing God's principle and is looking forward to this wonderful journey with God guiding Step of the Way. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my sister Terry on the line with me. If I can give her one moment. Terry?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and you? I'm so excited to have you on.
Me too, super, super excited. Anybody tells me about finances and talking about it, I'm like, I'm there.
So how your day been?
Very good, very good. My husband's on vacation, so we're just trying to coordinate, organize, getting these kids back to some sort of a regular sleep routine, waking up a little bit earlier, you know, all that fun stuff.
Okay, great. So let's dive in. So tell us a little bit about One Tenth Ministry and how you got started.
Yes, so we were talking back 6-7 years ago. I was on my fifth babysitter. We had moved from Queens to Long Island. We were struggling to find someone to stay with them. And I was like, you know what, babe, I think it's time for me to just stay home. We need somebody home with them to stay with them. We don't have anybody reliable. We don't have close family that can stay with them. I think we just need to shift. And in the middle of that shift, we knew that our finances were going to be drastically changed because we were two incomes in. And we took courses and classes and did our thing, made it happen. And I just fell in love. I fell in love with finances. I fell in love with organizing ourselves and seeing how it was possible and it was doable, and we just kind of stuck with it. I started to learn more. I noticed that I can use my skills in marketing and sales and customer service as a financial planner, and I went, you know, with it. I just kept on doing my thing because I love it. I really do love it and enjoy it.
Wow, that is amazing how you fell in love. You found your passion. I would say you found your passion in the midst of this. So how was it with your kids adjusting to, have you always been a stay-at-home mom, or you were beginning to be a stay-at-home mom when you established your business?
I was beginning to be a stay-at-home mom when I established my business. So I had worked for the first couple of years, I think maybe like for preschool, so the first like 3-4 years of their lives, I did work. I worked since I was 15. I'm a lifelong learner. I've always loved working. I have a passion for sales and just being able to talk to people and help companies grow. It was just ingrained in me since I was very young. So it was actually very much a drastic change because I went from 9 to 5 to being home, you know, with them. And then they were both in school and I was still home. And it was tough. I have to say that entrepreneurial shift, not only is it hard from a business aspect, but I think from a mental mindset and from what God was doing in my life, it was a huge change. He took this moment to really like purge me and grow me and reestablish me and remind me of what I was called to do and what I was going to do. And it really was a shift from thinking that I needed to make money and thinking that I needed to be out there to prioritizing my children and my family and doing everything that we possibly could to be okay financially.
Okay, well, that is definitely, you know, an eye-opener for those who are seeking to start their own business. We have to start from where we're at and make the most of where we're at until we get to where God would have us to be.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I believe that that's different for everybody. I don't think that there's one right way to do it. I think that everybody goes on their own individual journey. And if you know whatever it is that God is calling you to do or what he's asking of you, then we walk in obedience to that, not to what we see other people do or how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I tried to tell my daughter a couple of days ago, I was like, if God wanted you to be like someone else, he would have created two of you. Trust me, I understand.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
So let's talk about this, Terry. I can remember there was a time where I lived paycheck to paycheck. And at that time, I only had one child. But I do know there are some that are still in this position. And it's difficult being in this position today because during the time of inflation, a lot of things have gone up and people are losing hope. So what encourages you to keep pushing forward in the midst of everything?
One of the things that I always tell my children is every problem has a solution. So whenever they're having a hard time, whenever we're transitioning, wherever things don't go exactly the way that we planned, I always remind them, every problem has a solution. So I always try to take my own advice when it comes to that and also share that advice with others. There's a strategy out there. There is something that you can do. Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe God hasn't just opened that door quite yet. Maybe you haven't reached that point to know exactly what to do. But there is a solution out there. There is a way out. There is something that you can do in order to make sure that you move forward and do things. I love to talk about finances in terms of faith and action, right? So we have faith, right? Mm-hmm. We believe in a God that is of abundance. We believe in a God that can open doors and can do things for us that we could have never imagined, things that only he could have solved or only he could have made that happen, given us that job, given us that client. Only he could have taken us out of that tough situation. So we walk in faith. We walk in that belief that he's going to be our provider and our sustainer. But then there's the part that's the action part, right? There's the part that as we're believing, as we're waiting on him, we also have things that we can do practically to make sure we're doing our job. And that's really the financial literacy. It's really building a strong foundation financially and making sure that we're doing everything that God has asked. You already know is in the Bible and that we're supposed to be doing, right? So things like stewardship, things like giving, things like being good and honoring our neighbors and our friends and just serving. These are all things that we already know that we should be doing and walking in. So when we take that part of it and we walk in faith and in action, it propels us and it moves us forward to where God wants us to be.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you with that. And with that in mind, you said something about giving. Now, I have heard, this is one thing I have heard many years ago, you know, I'm not going to, you have some people that do not desire to go to church. You have some people that say they are not going to give the church their money. But this is what I believe. You know, I'm a believer and you reap what you sow and find ways to sow into good ground. Why is it important to sow financially into others, such as businesses, churches, and others outside of your home?
Right. So when we give unto the Lord, right? We're not giving unto man or to an organization. I mean, in essence, practically we are, right? But at the core of it, it's spiritual implication. What we're doing from a heart and mind standpoint is giving unto the Lord, especially if we're giving it to a kingdom organization, right? To either a church organization or a Christian nonprofit, right? When we're giving money unto the kingdom. So we're giving as unto the Lord. So when we're sowing that and when we have the capacity in our hearts to recognize and understand that we're walking and moving in that abundance, we're able to give. We're able to give out of the excess, the extra that we understand that God is giving to us. So it's kind of like a heart and mindset shift. In the beginning, sometimes, even with tithing, you know, if you've never tithed before, if it's not a practice that's part of you, if it wasn't taught to you, if you didn't understand its biblical principle, when you first start doing it, it's a little tough, you know. It's I'm not going to, let's just call it what it is,
yes.
Right? It's a little tough, you know.
Absolutely.
It's an adjustment,
yes.
You know. You start thinking to yourself sometimes in the flesh, like, I could be doing this with this money, or I can be doing that with this money, or... You know, you start questioning yourself in the flesh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once you have that spiritual muscle built, once you actually start doing it, and once you're living in that phase of tithing and giving and sowing, and then once you start seeing the reaping, and once you start seeing that, wow, like, I do have this money. Wow, I lack nothing. I'm tithing and everything is getting paid and everything is flowing. And not only am I receiving financial blessings, but I'm just receiving whatever blessing God has in store for me. Maybe it's blessings in my marriage. Maybe it's blessings with my children. Maybe it's something else that he opened the door because of my faithfulness and because of my obedience in my giving. So it's very important to kind of shift that view, because society tells us that when we are giving, we're taking away from ourselves. We're losing something because we gave it to someone else. But biblically, we know that when we give, we're flowing in abundance, and then we become conduits of blessing that allow us to have money come in and go out and come right back in and go right back out. So it's a shift. It's a shift in the heart that allows us to truly walk in what God wants us to walk and live.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you did say is it is a heart check. And that's one thing that really got me maybe last year. I was watching Creflo Dollar Ministries, and one of the things that he said is if we can get in a position where we believe and we tie based on being thankful to God. It's like an act of worship when you're tied, and it's like an act of worship, just saying, okay, I'm thankful for all that you have already provided and all that you have done for me. So rather than looking at it as though this is 10% I have to give, you know, I could have did something else with it. But if we really have that heart check, we would say, you know, I didn't have to wake up. And I didn't have to have all the bills paid, even though it may seem paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just flow from a different place. At the end of the day, if we recognize that everything belongs to God, that he's the owner of everything. The Bible tells us that he's the owner of the gold, of silver, of land, of the animals, of everything in the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that we are the administrators. We are called to have dominion over things. We are called to manage things. So when we understand this concept, we see that the whole thing belongs to God. Everything that comes into our hands belongs to God. It's just an act of faith, an act of love, an act of worship and giving him that 10%. And he covers us, right? He covers us for the whole 100% in our lives, and not just financially, but in many other spiritual ways. So it is. It's key, and it's such a different way to live our lives, knowing that some way, shape, or form, even when we're falling on hard times, we will lack nothing. He will be our provider, and he will give us what we need in every single moment.
Absolutely. We already receive it. This is our gratitude for already receiving what he has already provided. So amen to that. So Terry, I know that there are some people have the concept that single people may struggle a little bit more than married people when it pertains to the finance area. So can you provide strategies on how a single person can make the most of their current financial state as well as a married couple?
Absolutely. So the key to finances, to our personal finances and even biblical business finances, which all can be biblical finances when we manage it correctly, is really building a strong foundation. And that strong foundation is built on different financial literacy topics. So things like making sure that we're good stewards. How are you managing your money? Do you understand what goes in and what comes out? And are you making sure that you're allocating the correct things into the correct boxes? So for single people and married people both, it's that. Do you have a clear management and administration of your finances? Because if you're struggling and you're not making it to the end of the month, but you're also not holding a spending plan and you're not holding on to a budget and you really don't understand what's going on with the finances that are coming into your hands, then that's where it becomes a little tricky, right? So it's really understanding our expenses. It's really understanding where we're spending our money, managing it well, and setting ourselves up for success by not getting into debt, by making sure that we have an emergency fund, and by doing everything that we can to push forward and be effective in our finances. And there's a lot of different strategies that we can use, but I think that first and foremost, sometimes what we do is we know, quote unquote, things that we should do. Like, we know that we should have a budget. We've heard it a million times. We know that debt is bad. We know that credit cards have large interest rates. But are we actually applying and this education that we've received for our finances? Are we actually doing what we're supposed to be doing in order to be effective with our finances? So I recommend that. It's really starting out from scratch, starting out with a basic budget and basic tracking of your finances and seeing how everything flows in order for you to be effective.
Absolutely. You have to definitely know what's coming in and what's going out. And believe it or not, I was shocked to find out just the amount of money you're spending. It can be eating out. It can be on luxury items. But if you don't see it, then it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Absolutely. And I don't like budgeting for the sake of being frugal. Everybody's different. Every financial planner, financial advisor is different. Every household runs their finances different. From my perspective, there's nothing wrong with enjoying nice things. There's nothing wrong with having a Starbucks once in a while if you like it. There's nothing wrong with going out with your family and enjoying a nice meal and spending quality time together at a restaurant. There's nothing wrong with doing these things. The problem comes is when we're doing these nice things and not being able to pay our rent or pay our mortgage? Were we doing these things and adding a lot of recreational expenses when we know we can't afford it? So it's having a proper balance and doing the things that we love to do if and when we can afford them, and if and when we already have everything that we want to have financially accomplished. So if you're saving up for retirement, if you have some sort of investment plan, if you have some sort of savings plan, if you have a giving strategy and all your bills are getting paid, then enjoy yourself. Do go on vacation. Do the things that you love recreational. Get your nails done. Get your hair done. Do your thing. But if those recreational things are not allowing you to move forward effectively with your basic necessities and your basic needs financially, where you're stressed out and where you have guilt and shame because you can't pay things and your credit cards are maxed out, that's where the problem comes in, and that's where we really have to reassess and realign ourselves to managing our money effectively.
Thank you so much for sharing that information and letting us know how we can manage our money, pay our bills, and also enjoy life.
I think that that's why sometimes people don't want to sit with a financial advisor, because they think that they're going to sit down with somebody and they're going to say to them, you can't do this, you can't have that, you no longer can go do this, this is out of your, you know, capacity, and then they feel restricted and constrained, and then that's kind of where the issues come in. So it really is just like making sure that you align yourself with a strategy that really works for you and your family, and that you're able to accomplish your financial goals.
Absolutely. I agree with you. That may be the fear. So you all are hearing it from Financial Representative Terry, that you can enjoy life, enjoy that some luxury things, and eat out every now and then. However, make sure you're paying your bills first.
Yes, absolutely.
So how important is it, you talked a little bit about emergency funds, how important is it for us to have an emergency fund? How can someone start one? And what are some things you would use the emergency fund for?
Yes, so I believe it's safe to say that most of us have heard the term emergency fund. Like, we've heard it say you should have an emergency fund, you need to have money for an emergency fund, it's something that we should do, that we need to do. But going back to a little bit of kind of what I mentioned before, we know it, but are we actually living it? Are we actually applying it? So a good emergency fund can be anywhere between 3 to 6 months of your fixed expenses. So everything that has to do with what you spend on your rent or mortgage, your utilities, your phone, your basically your major bills and eating, everything that you spend that on a monthly basis, your fixed expenses, you should have at least 3 to 6 months saved. And it's key. Why? Because if every single time you have an emergency or you have something happen, you're tapping into your credit cards. If you're already in debt, what's going to happen is that you're going to keep on growing your debt, because emergencies always happen. The reality is that the car will most likely at some point break down. Appliances and electronic things, they end up getting old and dying down. You're going to have to replace the washer dryer. You're going to have to replace your phone at some point, the computer. There's things that you're going to have expenses for that you're going to have to replace. And some of them may not necessarily be emergencies. Like, I may not necessarily have to buy a new set of couches right now, but if my car breaks down and that's what I use to get to work, then I'm going to have to figure out how to pay off the bill in order to get the car fixed. So setting up an emergency fund is really, really key in helping us have a budget and have a little nest egg of money that will carry us through an emergency. But then it also allows for us not to keep on growing our debt if we have it. So it is definitely something that should be included in your spending plan, and it should be a certain amount that you take out of every paycheck to grow that emergency fund until you have enough money to at least get you through one emergency, and then you just keep on growing it and growing it until you're covered, and then you can move on to a next strategy or something else that you would like to implement financially.
Okay, thank you so much for that. It's, you know, if we have, because we do have some people that are investing in retirement 401k as well as, you know, different expenses that they have at home, but it's very important, like you say, to once you get paid is to take a certain amount of money to have that. Sometimes it's best for you to have it taken out where you don't see it, where it don't come to you, and you're responsible for putting it in the account, and it never makes the account.
Absolutely. And you know yourself best, right? So if you know that pulling the money out and putting it in an envelope somewhere in your house that you know you're not going to touch, then you do it that way. If you need to put it into a savings account, you put it that way. I've seen people open up savings accounts, like online savings accounts, in a completely different bank account so that they don't, you know, connect it to their own current debit card or their own current credit card. So you do whatever it is that you have to do in order to make sure that you accomplish the goal of saving up for that emergency fund.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. We are about to wrap up in a few minutes, Terry. If you can let people know where they can find you on social media, as well as if you have a website you can share with them as well.
Yes, so you can find me on Facebook and on Instagram. I am under I Am Terry Pena. It's super simple. There's no dots, no nothing. It's just straight I Am Terry Pena. And my website is one-tenth spelled out, so O-N-E-T-H-E-N-T .org. And that's where I am, one-tenth.org.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Do you have any events or any seminars or workshops coming up?
So I always have things that I have that is programmed. It could be different podcasts, the way that I do them. I also am the treasurer for the Latina Business Network, so we have events coming up in August and in September. So I definitely have some always something, you know, in the works, and everything is always updated in my Instagram and Facebook account.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for joining me and sharing the quick tips with us. It's going to help us create a emergency plan as well as face the truth as it pertains to our finances. So thank you so much for joining me. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your day. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to make sure that you follow Terry on Instagram. She shares biblical principles for us to get our household in order as it pertains to our finances. Until next time, with purpose, this is Mary.
For more information about my mom or booking, please visit motivationalmary.com.